Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, sometimes when I drive into Corvallis, I'll see some pretty nice sports cars. I see a lot of Porsches and BMWs and that type of thing. But there is one particular car, I've seen it probably four or five times. Maybe you've seen it too. It's a McLaren. If you've ever seen a McLaren, boy, I mean, that's a nice car. Okay, and it is beautiful, and it is expensive. And I think the last time I saw that car, I was on 9th Street, kind of by Bi-Mart, and on my right there, and the McLaren pulled right next to my Toyota Camry, you know. And I had to do it. I put it in park, and I revved my engine a little bit and looked at him. Now, I didn't give him one of these, you know, but I just kind of looked at him like, you know, it's go time. And it turned green, and I took off, and I beat him, and he drove by me, and he laughed at me. Now, he laughed at me because, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to have a car like that. He's looking at my car. Not only is it a Camry, it's dirty, okay? But on top of that, I have never, every time I've seen that car, I've always said, boy, I'd like that car. I really want that car. Not one time have I said, I need that car. Nobody needs that car. And I think sometimes people, it seems over the year, have gotten confused about what they need and what they want. I'll watch documentaries about the Great Depression, and you'll see riots taking place. And what are people stealing? They're stealing bread. You see riots nowadays, and they're stealing TV sets. Okay, now one of those you want and one of those you need. You don't need a better TV set. And what we do is when we switched a want into a need, then we kind of get caught up in this satanic mathematics, right? Where here's what I consider to be a need. Do I have the power to achieve that need? I use that power, and that equals now my need is realized. It's that kind of mathematics that Jesus deals with on the day he was tempted. Now, again, there's a big mistake we can make with this text, and that is, and I'm confessing, I mean, in the past, distant past, I may have preached like this myself, where I looked at this story of Jesus being tempted, and I said, look, he gives us a template of how we should deal with temptation. So when we're tempted, we should turn to God's word, and then we can defend ourselves against temptation. Now, is that true? Of course. Absolutely. We should turn to God's word when we're tempted. But that's not the point of this text. What happened on that day is an act of salvation right in line with Jesus dying on a cross. And on Good Friday, when we preach about or hear about Jesus dying on a cross, is the main theme of Jesus dying on a cross for our sin, is the main theme that we should sacrifice ourselves to others or for others? It's true, we should. But that's not the main point. It's not what we're going to do. It's what Jesus does. And that's what we really have to look at here. What does Jesus really do this day that makes this an act of salvation? For one thing, this temptation is very unique to Jesus. So in that sense, it doesn't relate to us much at all. For example, if Satan wanted to tempt me, if I was really hungry, let's say I go 40 days without eating, and Satan would tempt me, point at a stone, and say, turn that into a ham and cheese sandwich. Would he tempt me that way? No, because I can't turn a stone into a ham and cheese sandwich. Okay? Jesus, on the other hand, can. So that's what makes this temptation very unique. Also, Jesus is a little different than us. You see, Satan has an ally in each and every one of us. A little ally, maybe not that little, deep within us, that wants to do what he's saying. And that is pushing us in that direction. Well, Jesus doesn't have that ally in him for the Satan. Okay. Now, a few misconceptions about this. First of all, that the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness was Satan's idea. It wasn't. Okay. God is the one who leads Jesus into the wilderness. God's in complete control of the situation. Number two, it's true to say that Jesus was tempted in every way that we have been, and yet it's not true to say that he faced temptation the same way we do. He simply didn't. We can't say on this day that there's like a 50-50 chance that Jesus is going to fall to temptation and then we all go to hell. First of all, you look at how Jesus responds instantly to the temptation with God's word. And to be perfectly honest with you, Satan never had a chance of tempting Jesus into actually sinning. It's not going to happen. The third thing is we give Satan too much credit. I mean, listen to what he says in, the second temptation. He says, all authority on earth has been given to me in all these kingdoms. If you worship me, I'll give them all to you. Since when did anyone give dominion to Satan over all of the kingdoms on earth? It's nowhere in the Bible. In fact, the only place where it talks about man being given dominion is of all the world. We were given dominion of the world in Genesis, not him. He has nothing to give away, so he's a liar. And fourthly, he doesn't even get things right. At the last temptation, he quotes Psalm 91. And he's assuming Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm. Now, guess who else assumed that? The Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders. Well, it's not. It's talking about how someone is kept from God's wrath. Well, Jesus says the Son of God doesn't need to be kept from God's wrath. We do. And at the same time, at the end, he took God's wrath upon himself, unjustly, but out of graciousness. So again, even the scripture, Satan gets wrong or he tries to twist. Now, let's look at the scene just by looking at the first temptation. Jesus has been driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He goes 40 days without eating. For some reason, it says at the end, and he was hungry, which I think is a little, you know, superfluous. And Jesus is being tested and being tempted in the wilderness. In other words, Jesus is being tempted to say, well, all these things you want now are needs. And what are you going to do about it, Jesus? This is your need. You're human. And not much longer after 40 days, you're going to die if you don't eat something. You have the power to meet that need. And if you do, then you'll be satisfied. Does this sound at all familiar, what's being described in this situation with Jesus? Just think about it. Led by God in a wilderness, you got the number 40, and people are being tested. Doesn't that sound like the Israelites coming out of Egypt? Being in the wilderness for 40 years, it's the exact same thing. God called Israel out into the wilderness and said, you are my son, and gave him a covenant. And this son of Israel failed. Now Jesus is the personification of Israel, and this son will not fail. I think one of the most important chapters in regards to this is the chapter Jesus quotes in the first temptation. It's Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is right before they're coming into the Holy Land. Be careful to follow every command I give you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all this way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He goes on to say to the people, observe the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in your ways and revere him. And he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And finally, he says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. This is a promise that God was making to his people, who he had called to be his son, and they failed. Jesus didn't fail. You can see throughout his life how he is the personification of Israel. He and his family travel down to Egypt, just like Israel did. And then they come back, and the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, just as Jesus was in the Jordan River to be baptized. And we see at the end of Jesus' life that Jesus celebrates the Passover of the Israel people, and then finally at the end, he makes a new covenant, the Lord's Supper. In Jesus, God finally had a son who got it right. And Jesus looked at that rock and knew that he could turn it into bread, and he said, I might want it, but I don't need it. All I need is the Lord. And in the same way, all we need is the Lord, who by overcoming temptation in the wilderness saved us from something we could never do. I pray that the Lord keep our eyes focused on him, so that we look to Jesus and follow him and pray that he helps us fight the temptations in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.